on.
What's up, guys? This is Sholo Maridueña, Miguel Diaz from Cobra Kai.
This is Jacob Bertrand. I play Hawk.
And you're listening to the Comic Syndicate.
Woo!
Welcome to the Comic Syndicate, episode 285. I'm Josiah Sat for the Villain on Twitter, at @comic_syndicate on Instagram. All right, guys, I'm going to pull the curtains back a little bit. Tonight, for some reason, my audio files are missing. I'm using my bumper in between as an intro. Thank goodness I have a few of those. I do have access to a few of our old school intros that are pretty sick, pretty dope. But since I'm on Spotify now, I'm unable to use those. I'm not going to say anything besides that. Just because of reasons, certain reasons. If you guys are curious what those ones sound like, go back 100 episodes ago. Just like this one right here, which we're going to go into. What we spoke about 100 episodes ago. Episode 185, we entitled hashtag Mortal Thoughts. At Mem the Beaner and at For the Villain are finally back, starting off with what happened during our quote-unquote break. Okay, that happened a lot with us, especially once I got the second job. Geez, about 4 years ago by now, 3.5 years ago for me. And once he started, you know, he was a coach at an elementary school, and they asked him to be, like, you know, coach for more sports. It sucked up a lot more of our time. So juggling both of our schedules, just like I juggle everyone's schedule and appease fucking everyone with their fucking time schedules. People don't realize that, holy shit, you work a lot too. I don't bitch about it because I don't mind the work. That's just the Josias in me. But we did take breaks, and sometimes I need a break too. That's why it's cool to be able to branch off and do, you know, record a few and bang them out and put them in different slots. And that's why I'm a time traveler talking about so many things. Anyways, we go into our summer movie draft and summer movie challenge talk. This is dope. It's going to come up soon already. Some boys, the 2OC podcast boys, so Alan and Anton put this together every year. It's a dope movie draft. So if you like football, if you like fantasy football, it's a weird way to look at it, but it is essentially fantasy movies. Movie draft. You choose your movies, and I'll go into that the closer we get into that. But listen to the 2OC podcast. Those guys are dope, awesome, and rad. And I know those cats. They're great, grounded people. Two best friends. One lives in Orange County, California. The other lives in Orange County, Florida. I don't know where that is. But yes, they're cool, and they're best friends, and just talking about everything. I highly recommend them. All right, so we hit what we spoke about 100 episodes ago, drop some Twitter love and shoutouts, then finally go into what the fuck news. Robot arms are now teaching each other how to work. Wristband monitors your blood alcohol content while you drink. World's last male northern white rhino gets help from Tinder. And 12-year-old set for amateur MMA debut in Japan. A few of these articles I do remember, especially the MMA one, because I'm a huge MMA fan, but I'm a huge sports fan in general. And the topic was, you have a 12-year-old child, and they might be talented in MMA and mixed martial arts, but as a parent, do you let your 12-year-old kid fight fully formed adults, for the most part, that have worked out a majority, half of their lives. Like, they've been working out for 12 years, this 12-year-old. And that was the moral thing. And then we broke down, like, okay, well, it's a different country. Like, they have different rules and regulations. Anyways, so that was a good talking point. We hit comic talk, comic news, Star Wars Episode 9, new release date, and new Star Wars movie talk. Mark Miller and Sean Murphy's Chrononauts movie lands a screenwriter. This was a dope Image Comics title. Think of it this way. Two best friends, Top Gun boys, and they're time travelers. And they're boys, so they back each other up. It's just a good buddy time cop. Almost like a, I don't know, time cop movie, but it's dope. It was a great title, so I suggest reading it. And yeah, check that out. Yeah, I'm still curious about where this is going because this has been like in limbo for a little bit. We get Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 2 post-credits scene, then finally roll. Comic reviews, X-Men Blue number 2, Batman number 21, The Flash 21, Thanos number 6, and Venom number 6. All right, guys. I have a feeling this is going to be a long show. I'm going to hit it next by going through bullet points like I normally do. This is going to be a little bit of information. Besides the pulling back of the curtains and the editing job on this show, it's going to be a pain in the ass for me. So this first bullet point, literally the only bullet point because I knew I was going to talk about this, I was chatting it up with my brother Moses last night. He asked for my podcast information for one of his friends, which I always greatly and totally appreciate anyone that shares the podcast. And I guess both of us kind of describing the podcast to him, or Moses trying to describe it to him. And he's like, how do I explain? And it's like, have him just listen. Like, it's a different breakdown. So the structure literally and breakdown and how I come up with what to review or how much I review and or spoil and to still write out in my own words a review for listeners is interesting. Like, there is a process behind all this nonsense, and hopefully I make it sound, look, it's not fucking flawless, I know that, but hopefully I make it sound intriguing and interesting for you guys to stick around. Also, in saying that, the deep dives and rabbit holes, that is a lot more work, because that is, and I love to read, so I don't mind reading up and learning new things, but also writing those up, and then tossing up my thoughts, opinions, and find breakers in between where it's like, let's find a way to interject my thoughts, opinions, experiences, whatever it might be for that show. Now, I used to be able to talk more on the Comic Syndicate about sports, current events, sex facts, what the fuck news. I did have a topic, Jesus shit list, and a lot of old listeners still hit me up occasionally, like, I miss this topic, I miss sex facts, I miss what the fuck news, I miss Jesus shitless, like holy shit, you guys brought some gnarly articles to the table. So back then though, I was able and did have someone to bounce ideas off of back and forth, but that was back then. Now doing everything, the writing, the editing, the producing, the cutting, the adding, the drops and everything, I had to change the structure a little bit from 100 episodes ago with that structure to what I have now. So I'll go through this briefly because this was interesting. I know the Comic Syndicate isn't for everyone, and you guys can bail out at any point. Yes, it is pop culture. It is, I think it's cool shit I'm just interested in. So honestly, I lost the confidence to record, let alone attempt to record even solo, when it felt like my girlfriend left me, when he left the show. Like, I was intimidated. Who wouldn't be? Everyone should try it. But I did lose my confidence. You know, it was intimidating. It was scary to be behind the mic and to think, like, I can't do this. I can't do this without help. The structure I have now, that's where that comes from. So I'm like, okay, well, do I just want to read articles? Do I want to talk sports by myself? Is that something I want to do? So finding the structure and honestly figuring out restructuring this baby into what I have now. So it's just now what we spoke about 100 episodes ago. Bullet points with hopefully an interesting story or anecdote that I went through, something I experienced, which is exactly what this is. And then it goes into comic talk, comic news, and then I go through comic reviews. So pretty simple for the most part, but anyone just try it for 5 minutes, like literally try to record yourself for 5 minutes. And now I can go as long as I want now. I can go 30 to 35 minutes and keep it fucking tight. I can go a solid 40, 45 minutes. And if I go 50 to 55 minutes, it's either I have a lot of news to go through or I'm just feeling ballsy and cocky and confident. And you know, it's more confident than cocky. And just feel like talking. I know which episodes are going to go long at any given point. So now, whether it be about the news, my stories, anecdotes, or even my reviews, depending on how I want to destroy and or attack my comic reviews. That's why it's great to have the luxury of being able to do the Deep Dives and Rabbit Holes podcast, because I'm able to flex those creative muscles in a different way. It's not just pop culture. It's like, this is interesting. Let me read more about it. Like, I know this, I know that. Let me deep dive it. And I'm taking you guys on a trip with me. I love that, just being able to, again, flex those creative muscles. So now I'm getting to the point recording where I know I can just about accurately, just about pinpoint how long a show will be. Now, what I'm going to guess, this show is going to be about 47, 48 minutes, which is a decent show. This is still my anecdote and or story. It was great talking to my brother last night. We were talking about some deep things, and it started off with this, and I explained to him the writing process, and that's cool. He doesn't have to listen. Like, he used to read comics. He doesn't anymore. That's cool. I'm cool with that. And that's exactly what the premise is, though. Like, letting him know, letting you guys know as listeners, as an audience base, is you guys don't have to read these. And I'm able to attack a full review and or spoil something. I don't like spoiling something. If something drops today, Wednesdays are normally comic release dates. I normally don't like reading something and reviewing it right off the bat. I want more people to read it, and if I ever do that, I don't want to spoil anything. I let it sit out for a good month before I fully attack and let people know, like, okay, this is what I got out of it. This was beautiful. This was dope. These pages were awesome. Check this out. If you want to read it for yourself, go buy it, go purchase it, or just listen to the podcast. Like, I'm a baby step guy. This is what the Comic Syndicate is. I want everyone to feel welcome walking it in at any moment and just feel comfortable, like, okay, I'm not overwhelmed by this review. I don't need to know the history behind these characters or that character, Marvel or DC. I'm literally retelling you a story I read with my own words. And it's fun, and I fucking love the fuck out of it. So we went down some weird places, my brother and I, Moses and I, last night, and he was so intrigued, like, he'll want to read stuff more now, and it's dope. But again, this thing I'm writing from a month from now, I have to visit a dark place, and I don't want to say a dark place, I have to visit a very emotionally sad place to go to. And even talking to him, like, I know I got him chalked up with a little bit of emotion, which is great to see from him. And even for me to talk about it, I know me talking to him about something is going to make that one hopefully easier to get through, because I'm literally going to find some pain, and hopefully it's going to make sense when you guys listen, but I'm going to find some pain for myself to go through. And last night was perfect, and it's like, okay, I'm on the right track. Honestly, hopefully that's beautiful, but I'm writing a love letter, is essentially what it is. And so, Moses, thank you for the conversation last night. I love you. New guy, I forget your name already. Thank you for following me, and hopefully you like this show. I wish I could give you a proper shout out, which I will next week, but just getting this together and the sound work I'm doing and trying to find my audio files. I'm not a happy camper right now, but I'm able to survive this show. And speaking of, let's hit it, the rest of it. Please subscribe to the podcast in iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, anywhere you guys can find podcasts, Spotify, CastBox, Podchaser. Now, give us a thumbs up, give us some stars, share the podcast with like-minded individuals. If they like pop culture, dude, give me a shot. Just give me a shot. Let me give you some oral pleasure in your ears, and hopefully you guys dig. I'm not going to overwhelm you, and if you guys ever disagree with me, guess what's beautiful about this? it's okay to disagree with people. Let's have a conversation. If you like the Joker so much, tell me why you like it. And I'll tell you why I didn't like it. And if you guys really want to know, I'll go back a few episodes back and I kind of break it down. And not being snotty or an asshole or a snob. It's just the breakdown of the movie. All right, since I'm using my bumper as an intro, let's hit some TV and movie talk. Report The Witcher Season 2 cast two more Witchers. This is one of the few shows I saw, oh my gosh, not even last year. I finished it this year. It's good. I enjoy it. I have some irks about it as far as the time jump. So if you guys did like the show, it's really interesting because Season 2 has started filming. And this is the next news that kind of tripped me out. The Witcher continues to be Netflix's most popular show months after debut. It's a good show. It's really well shot. If you like Middle Earth and mages and magicians, it's a good show. Henry Cavill, honestly, is a fucking stud. Crippled Girl is weird, cute, pretty, odd, pretty. And I know that sounds terrible to say, but it's a good show, but the time jumps into that. Just small irks. If you guys want to hit me up on the side, please do that. Next Netflix news is going to be Sandman casting breakdown describes dream and shows main villain. Casting descriptions for the protagonist and main villain of Netflix's Sandman series have surfaced. All right, this was a Vertigo title. Vertigo, back in the day, was an offset of DC Comics. So it was under the same banner. And it was like a darker version. Oh, it was so dope. It was darker and edgier and characters you don't normally see as happy in the DC universe. And I know that's weird to say, especially because you guys look at the movies now. It's like, why is it so dark? Anyways, I love the imprint. I love the title. Neil Gaiman wrote it. Beautiful art by just a rotating artist collaboration. And it was dope. It was beautiful. It's worth checking out. They've been working on this show for a while, but entertainment reporter Daniel Rickman has shared casting breakdowns for the two main characters on his Patreon site, offering new details about Morpheus, Dream, and the murderous Corinthian. Both character descriptions appear faithful to the original comic book source material, echoing franchise co-creator Neil Gaiman's earlier statement that the adaptation will closely follow the Vertigo Comics series' overall story. Gaiman is attached to the production as a screenwriter and executive producer. It's one of his babies, so I'm glad that he's still on board. That's one of those projects that Joseph Gordon-Levitt also knows the... Apparently he was into the comics too, and it's a great title. If you guys want to know where to start on The Sandman, hit me up. I'm a huge Sandman fan. So let me know, and I will point you in the right direction. Honestly, start from book number one, and it's a beautiful story. Next one is going to be Extraction. First photos from Chris Hemsworth's Netflix movies release. The film follows Tyler Rake Hemsworth, a mercenary for hire who is tasked with rescuing the kidnapped son, Rudkarsh Jasal, of an international crime lord. As Rake tries to extract the child, the two develop a bond that offers them a chance at redemption. That comes out 4/24/2020 of this year. Next news is going to be Indiana Jones 5 begins filming real soon, says Harrison Ford. I'm still kind of curious about this. Next one's going to be Kevin Smith's Masters of the Universe cast Mark Hamill and Kevin Conroy. In my normal bumper or intro, Kevin Conroy, if you guys ever watched Batman the Animated Series, he's the voice of Batman. Just love the fuck out of him. And Mark Hamill played the voice of the Joker. And Mark Hamill was Luke Skywalker. Just love these guys. So the fact that, you know, these two critically acclaimed voice actors are going to be involved, I'm really jazzed for. All right, let's hit some DC talk. The Batman. Ooh, this is interesting. This one came out. I know I dropped it last week. But The Batman. Matt Reeves' film reportedly covers the hero's year two. Now, there are certain people that feel certain ways about this costume and or the cowl, and everyone wants to make a certain point, and it looks like Daredevil. Yeah, it looks like it's based on Alex Ross art. So if you guys don't believe me, pull up Alex Ross on your phone and or computer, put in Alex Ross Batman, or Alex Ross. Let's see. Red Robin. And that cowl looks interesting. And I don't know about the aerodynamic, or it looks like everyone has their thoughts, opinions. But, dude, I know the source material, too. The aesthetics could work in the cowl, just a fully function, you're able to turn your head type of deal. And not even like, okay, let's make this more believable where every person's complaint, Michael Keaton's complaint, Christian Bale's complaint is always, I can only turn my head a certain way. Like Michael Keaton legit had to move his full body in the direction he wanted to look at, to the right or to the left. Christian Bale was able to look somewhat over his shoulder. So the aesthetics of the costume is the more main thing, not just in the fight, but it's got to be believable. So yeah, it's interesting. I like the concept. It looks good. The Batman set photo, still on that, confirms the film's perfect working title and a recently released set photo. Pattinson's chair is shown with the word Vengeance written above the actor's name. Many of the photo's comments were guessing the working title, what it could be, and a clue could have came out with this. It's interesting. I would like to know what it's called. Vengeance would be interesting. We're going to hit some, let's see, Marvel, Disney, I guess, news. Rumor, WWE's Sasha Banks to star in The Mandalorian Season 2. I've heard of her, and I know what she looks like, kind of, sort of. I don't watch wrestling as much anymore. I'm trying to get back on it, but it's hard because I don't watch TV. I know people were going to get mad at me, like, if you watch wrestling, you watch TV. It's like, oh my God, just fucking shoot me already. But it's one of those things where it's like, you know what, dope. Gina Carano, again, ex-MMA fighter, also is in the show. Just sign up good people that know what they're doing. Give them a good script and let them act their asses off and let them hit a home run. Swing for the fucking fences. Rumor, Black Panther 2 may start filming in early 2021, according to the MCU Cosmic. Black Panther 2 will be filming at Fox's studios in Australia, sometime between March and June in 2021. Next few, we're going to be Disney Plus's The Falcon and Winter Soldier wraps filming in Atlanta. The Falcon and the Winter Soldier has officially wrapped principal photography and its main filming location in Georgia. The miniseries has a reported production budget of $150 million, and will consist of 6 episodes. Next one is a report. Quote unquote, Loki Disney Plus series introduces King the Conqueror to the MCU. A new report suggests that the time-traveling villain King the Conqueror could make his MCU debut in Loki. Again, rumor reports. These ones are always on the fence. They really need to start introducing some solid villains, like Namor and Doctor Doom would be dope fucking villains that they really need to get introduced. Characters that you want to hate and just that moral standpoint where it's like, you know what? I back this person up. He's not wrong at all. Like, yeah, Killmonger wasn't wrong to me. And I love the fuck out of Killmonger in Black Panther. These next ones are going to be interesting. Venom 2, Tom Hardy welcomes Carnage, Cletus Kasady, to the Spider-Verse in new photo. In 2018's Venom, Harrelson's Carnage only appeared as a cameo at the end of the film. The character will reportedly play a much bigger role in the sequel, with Tom Hardy previously teasing Venom and Carnage going toe-to-toe. I'm a huge Venom fan. I'm a huge Eddie Brock fan. I'm a huge Tom Hardy fan. I'm a bigger Venom and Eddie Brock fan than I'm a Tom Hardy fan. Tom Hardy he sucks in this fucking role, and that movie sucks. There's no way to break it down besides that. And if you guys ever disagree with me, shoot me a message. I'm at For The Villain on Twitter. I'm at comic_syndicate on Instagram. Let's have these conversations. I'll give you my reasons why I don't think it's a good movie. It's okay to talk about these things and debate these things. I love this character, and the whole movie was convoluted, and it was shot and edited terrible. But again, hit me up on the side, please. Next one's going to be rumor Sony considering Mysterio in solo film. Sony wants the actor to reprise his role in a solo film. It's worth noting there has been speculation to whether Mysterio actually died at the end of Far From Home. He was a great villain. Granted, in Spider-Man's world, one of his great villains, I guess, Dr. Octopus would be up there. But the fact that they sprinkled in Michael Keaton, who was the Vulture, in the one prior, part one, was interesting, and even Scorpion was in it as well. So if they're going to introduce or have Mysterio be starring in his own movie, the Sinister Six can't be too far behind. All right, and let's see, comic news. You know what? Let's just hit some comic reviews. I only have one review this week. It's been a, not even a rough week. It's been a battery recharger weekend. And it sounds a little odd, but it was a very much battery recharging weekend. This first and only comic review is going to be Batman Curse of the White Knight number 2. The artist and writer is going to be Sean Gordon Murphy. I love when writers and or artists are so good at their craft that they're able to jump the medium. And Sean Murphy's art, he was an artist on Chrononauts that I was speaking about earlier. His art's fucking amazing. And he decided, like, I want to write my own story, my own Batman story. And this is under the DC Black Label banner. So now, as opposed to Vertigo also, which I was talking about earlier, DC came out with the DC Black Label, geez, about a year and a half, 2 years ago by now. And it deals with darker content. It's more of a multiverse Elseworlds story. So it's not affecting current continuity, but you're able to drop F-bombs and do more things, almost like it's an Image Comics banner title, which is interesting, and I love the fuck out of this story. Hopefully you guys follow along. I did review issue number 1. This one starts off with a flashback scene of a break-in, from some young man now breaking into a manor of London, where this man was looking for something and knew exactly where to find this particular ring. It goes about him now getting caught and getting sent away. So a man says, "That house is a fortress. How do you get in without calling attention from the guards?" And this is one of the guys that captures said man. And he's like, "How do you know where the ring was hidden?" The young man says, "I grew up in that house." The cop says, "Ha, that house was built by one of the greatest families in all of London. But everyone knows they died in the plague. So that either makes you a liar or a bastard." Another officer answers, "Or a ghost." As he gets now taken away in a police horse carriage, the officer asks, "Are you a ghost, Edmund Wayne? Or are you an outcast? The last of a noble bloodline who tried to flee his destiny?" The man answers, "I never told you my first name." The officer in charge continues on, "Tell me, do you believe that God has a plan for each of us?" The young man, "I don't believe in God." The officer, "Once again, well, I do. And I don't believe this was his path for you. I think you're meant for something greater." The man finally answers, "You're not a guard." The officer, where we finally learn now, "No. I'm not an officer. I'm a messenger. I'm a priest. And I offer you a choice. But you must decide quickly. You can accept your current fate, rotting inside of Newgate here in London. Or you can accept that God has other plans for you by coming with me." The man, young man, answers, "Fine. I accept God, whatever keeps me out of prison." The priest, "Good." As the priest pulls out a sword, and the man freaks out, "What are you going to do?" The priest answers, "God's will." As the priest flips now and starts going to town on the officer squad that's escorting the wagon along, which are some great panels and action sequences, guys. Okay, so far this title is up to like issue number 6 right now. I'm going to give a full breakdown, yes, when I don't have a rough night like I did tonight. And I still need to find audio and hopefully be able to tap in and punch in. Editing's going to be fun tonight. And I don't think it's going to be fun at all. But again, the action sequences, the panels, the pacing is just solid and consistent all the way through. We see this guy just kicking ass now. The man, "Where are we going?" And we find out, My name is Bakar, a place called Gotham Valley, in the New World, where your inheritance awaits. As they travel on, they make it to a ship, and the young man now writes in his diary, 6 men dead. While they didn't die by my hand, they died for my freedom, and the guilt weighs heavily on my soul, for I've never taken a life, nor do I ever intend to. The olive-skinned priest seems undaunted. No doubt he's taken many lives, but he claims to be driven by a higher purpose, ordained by God. And now we get some background briefly on Bakar now, and a nod to the Knights Templar, along with the Order of Saint Dumas, which he serves. The man, ever the brave warrior, he chose to settle in the place that needed him the most. Gotham Village is a place of sin and a haven for smugglers and pirates, controlled by a corrupt general who stole the land from its rightful owners. His name is Lafayette Arkham, but villagers know him as Laffy. Supposedly, he's a vampire, a demon who feeds on the blood of small children. I don't believe in such stories, but Bakar does. His quest is to cleanse Gotham of this demonic infestation. Okay, as I said, it was an Elseworlds story. Now, this is a continuation of Batman White Knight, and just to give you some background and premise on that, and this story in particular, it's an Elseworlds story. So Joker comes up with this these pills that or he wants to use essentially to fuck up Gotham City. Batman comes in, saves the day, swoops in, and Batman loses it to the point where he essentially tosses a bunch of pills, these pills, down Joker's throat, almost killing him, makes him overdose, essentially. But this strain of this medication kind of makes Joker revert now from his Joker persona to his Jack Napier person self. This is why I hate Joker the movie, because it's not Joker the movie. It's a joke. But it's a great story, and it's an original story that we haven't seen before. Joker, in a certain degree, gets rehabilitated. And he sees all the bad things, terrible things he's done to Gotham, and the crime, everything he's done, all the killings. And as he's locked up in prison, he's now focused on studying, like, okay, let me get my way legally out of this, to the point where he's able to prove, like, Batman's the villain. Like, he's destroying your fucking city. He's got a revolving fucking door at Arkham City or Arkham Asylum, and you guys let this shit fly. The Gotham City Police Department, you guys also fucking suck at your jobs. Look at what's going on. At least I know I'm fucked up in the head. That motherfucker's hiding behind a mask. It's a beautiful story. I believe the first series was a 6-issue arc, and I did go through all of those. This is fucking dope. It's just a continuation on. So just wanted to give you some background on that. We now have Bakar answering, "Tomorrow, we begin your training," as he now gets put through the grinder. As we hear this, all he needs is an heir of the family who has legal claim to the valley, someone whom the British would be forced to recognize as Gotham's rightful lord, someone who would force Arkham out, someone to end the illegal trade, someone brave enough to help him bring peace to the innocent people of Gotham. All Bakar needs is a Wayne. Gotham Valley is all my family has left, so this is where we make our stand. However, Bakar's help comes at a heavy price. Half of Gotham. This might not be something I'm willing to grant. As it now jumps to Bruce Wayne now, reading over Edmund Wayne's diary. Still dealing with the Joker issue, as far as they had to work together. It was pretty nuts towards the end of that series. But Joker still being Joker. And I'll continue on, but it's worth checking out, guys. Now, this is the part where it's like, how much spoiler do I want to give? It's 6 issues in. This is barely issue number 2. I hopefully give you guys enough information to make this interesting for you guys to actually reach out, search out, seek and find and read, because the art's amazing. And the writing is a different story than we've gotten from Batman, who is now essentially put as a villain. And Joker, in some weird, twisted fucking way, makes sense that he's the hero. But again, it's called Batman White Knight, the first series. This is called Batman Curse of the White Knight. So again, as it now jumps to Bruce Wayne reading over the diary, still dealing with the Joker issue, still unaware of this John Paul Valley Azrael problem. I should go into that in our current world or story when Bane broke Batman's back. In the comics, in the early 90s, mid-90s, he went to retirement and a man called John Paul Valley took over as Batman. He was off the hinge, though. Like, he was one of those people who, like, let's kill you and then we'll ask questions later. I know it sounds stupid because Batman will break your legs. This guy just didn't care. He would just straight up kill. That was the interesting dynamic between the Azrael Batman. And go and Google Azrael Batman 1994 and then pull up Sean Gordon Murphy Azrael and tell me that doesn't look beautiful. Jump on the Comic Syndicate on Facebook. I'm always posting shit up, pictures up. If you guys ever want to scope those out, they're worth checking out. Give us a like and share that too. Okay, so now we get this him learning about his family history, along with the history of Arkham Asylum, and just Gotham in general, as he now gets an interesting and somewhat political threat now, not just protecting the exposure of who Batman is, but also getting threatened, like, we have to shut you down. We also get the tolls it's taken on the city of Gotham in general, with Jim Gordon now admitting a few things about this Napier initiative that was set out in issue number one. It's like, well, let's... The Gotham elite, all the higher-ups, like, they're pocketing all the fucking money when they could be using that money, put it back into the system, put it back into Gotham. Like, we have a broken city because it's all of the elites. And that's the interesting story of Joker. And I'm at for the villain. Give me a great, compelling villain story. And I'm always normally going to eat it up. Now, he even admits he hates the Joker. But knowing that Jack Napier, though, started Gotham on a bright new path. And in this, though, we see that there is a flip. As we see now, an angry Jean-Paul Valley that now gets hired by Ruth. If you want more background on this Jean-Paul Valley, I can shoot you that episode. I forget what that one's called. It's always hard to pull on the cuff. And this woman, Ruth, tells him, it doesn't look like Mr. Wayne is going to be cooperative. So, Mr. Valley, your plan? As he answers, Azrael, for me, it's very simple. Bruce's family took my kingdom in cold blood. That's exactly how I'm going to take it back. Michael was a sniper. Gabriel was demolitions. Our specialty was disrupting enemy networks by removing key players. I look at Gotham and I see a lot of key players. As we now see Batman reach out to Harley Quinn. And it's one of those weird, interesting, great moments, because it's not the stupid bullshit Harley Quinn you guys are seeing in Birds of Prey or the movies, but like classic Harley Quinn from Batman, the animated series. The cute version, not the ditzy, dumbed down female empowerment. That does not sit well with me either. It's not that one. It's classic Harley Quinn. And Batman goes to ask for help, like, I need your help with Joker. She's like, don't care, we're done. She's like, I need help with Jack. And she rings, like, I still care about Jack Napier. And we see something that's kind of a spoiler, but it's an Elseworlds title. And it's just a funny little panel where he's like, she's like, besides, I can't help you right now anyways. As we see her with the little tummy. And he's like, you're pregnant. She's like, yeah, world's greatest detective, huh? Just a little funny nod. So to see that was kind of cool, kind of cute, and where he can take this world now is going to be interesting. And again, I'm going to review more of these as we continue on. But again, we see now as Azrael go to work, straight for the jugular at the source. And he infiltrates the Batcave. He says, as he pops on Batman's screen as he's there in his Batcave, "In the beginning, Gotham had two sons. The brothers were to divide the land and live in peace. But then one son rose against the other, like Cain and Abel. God cursed Cain for what he'd done, just as he cursed you, just as he cursed all of Gotham. I am vengeance. I am God's wrath, here to break the curse, to rise up against you and deliver this land from evil. After 3 centuries, the House of Wayne will finally be rectified. Bury him." And it's just dope panels and pages now as we see Batman in the Batcave. And just to break it down, like, we see his Batmobiles turn on and start gunning him. And like the engines turn on and Batman's like, "Oh fuck, what the hell is going on?" It's just really cool to see that. And the bat plane, just the bat jet just open and like start attacking too, like swooping down. And it's just a dope scene. He's in his place of, fuck it, dude. He's in his fucking home and he's getting attacked by his own toys. It's just really cool to see that. The fact that Azrael was able to infiltrate the Bat Cave like this and put Batman on the ropes so quickly in one shot. Like, and the end of the title ends with the Bat Cave, not just the Bat Cave, but the Wayne Manor just exploding. Beautiful pages. Again, I always appreciate artists that can write, and I love writers that can draw. Like, Jeff Lemire is one of those people, Frank Miller is one of those people. Like, give me something great and beautiful. It just shows how much of a talent they are and how creative they can be. Like, I can write my own story, and I know I can rely on other writers or artists, but, like, I have a really good story, and I can write it, I can draw it myself. I love the fuck out of it. I always enjoy that. All right, guys. If you like the show, please subscribe on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, Podchaser, CastBox, Spotify. Now, subscribe, share the podcast more than anything. Apparently, my call was wrong. I have 5 minutes to go, so this is a lot shorter than I was expecting. I did share a lot at the beginning of the show, though. So, deep dives and rabbit holes. If you guys ever want me to talk about something in particular, give me a topic. I'll do research. I'll write it up. And I'll bring thoughts, opinions, and experiences to the table. If you guys are ever curious about certain comic book characters, and I do this a lot, if you guys want me to break down a comic or a character or a story or series, I know most of it anyway. So for any new listeners, follow through or like just stick with it. And I'm going to tell you a good story and hopefully it intrigues you guys again enough to go reach out, search it, seek it, just find it and support these artists. It's a dope thing to be able to do this and just to flex these creative muscles. It's okay to be a fan of things, guys. So continue to rock out and share the podcast. All right, you guys are dope, awesome, rad. I will catch you guys next week. Peace out.